When Jesus had left the world, and after his 3 years of ministry and the apostles took over, there wasn't anything called the Christian faith. There wasn't anything called the Christian church. What there was a whole bunch of people that had been so inspired, so indwelt with the Holy Spirit, that had been so inspired by Jesus' words that they decided to follow him. And they had the Old Testament scriptures to start with. And at the beginning, as they got into these small groups, what we would call small groups today, when you read in Acts chapter 2 what they talk about the church, they're really talking about what we call small groups. A bunch of people would get together in small groups, and they would take the Old Testament scriptures, and they would take the words given to them either directly through one of the apostles or through somebody who had heard from one of the apostles, and they were putting it all together. And one thing they were all committed to was one thing. They were going to follow this guy Jesus. They were going to follow in his way. So to be perfectly honest with you, what we call the beginning of the early church, what really was, they didn't call it that. They said that we followed the way. And you'll see in books that talk about that, they'll capitalize the way. And they'll say, well, this is what they called it in those days, the way. But it really even wasn't that. It wasn't the name of the movement. People just said, I follow the way of Jesus. And that's what it was to begin with. It didn't become churches and organizations and structures and all that till hundreds and hundreds of years later. So James is the brother of Jesus, remember? James is the brother of Jesus who actually at one point thought his brother was crazy. The scripture tells us at one point Jesus is teaching somewhere and the family shows up to try to take him home because they think he's crazy. James grew up with this guy. Does that mean they have a brother? I've got these two guys here. You have a brother? Can you imagine if your brother, so get your brother in mind, you two guys be quiet. To picture your brother in your mind and your brother says, I'm the Son of God. How would that go over? It didn't go over very well with James either, but here's the thing. What happened was James became so convinced by the appearance of the resurrected Jesus that James, the brother of Jesus, understood who he was. And if there was anybody who was the follower of the way, it was James. In fact, we'll read it. If you read in Galatians, there had become the first organized part of the faith was the Jerusalem Council, which is just a bunch of the elders that would kind of answer questions. And James says at the Jerusalem Council that this we have to be like Jesus. That's what it means to be this thing that we are calling ourselves the new belief. We have to follow the way of Jesus. So when James writes this book, of all of the people that are so absolutely convinced that the way you follow Jesus matters, it would be James. So his whole book is about how you're supposed to do that. So everything that we've talked about up at this time, if you're going through the early morning Bible study, you're seeing that in some detail, that the way you actually follow Jesus matters. It matters big time. So open up your Bibles, if you will. We are going to dive into chapter 4. It's actually a short book. We only have 5 chapters, but we begin chapter 4 today. And as you're turning there, I just want to introduce this by saying our passage today is pretty hard-hitting contrast to the easy believerism that's out there today. There's sort of a syrupy spirituality to the Christian faith these days. People claim to be Christian, but it isn't the way they live their lives. It's a thing that's on the calendar. Soccer, you know, yoga, church on Sunday, Bible study on Wednesday night, et cetera, et cetera. It's a thing on their calendar. James warns us against worldly wisdom. That's what we're going to talk about. And here's what we're going to learn. God gives grace to the humble, not the haughty. Barry read that in our opening thing. One of the things that God hates is haughty eyes. We'll tell you a little bit about that. Someone who is haughty is arrogant and full of pride. When you're haughty, you have a big attitude and you act like you're better than other people. This is a problem. that we all have to work on to avoid, and we'll look today at the source of the problem and a prescription to solve the problem. How does that sound familiar to the news today? There's a problem going on in the world right now, right? And there's a prescription that you could take for that, precautions. So just like that, we're going to look at the problem and a prescription to solve the problem. But first, let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, we come to this understanding that this is the literal words of God speaking to us. As James pens these words, it's the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that gives him this message that we are supposed to hear. So open our hearts and our minds this day so that we would receive the message that you want us to receive. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, the problem of this worldly wisdom is something that's rooted deep inside of us. Let's begin. First four verses. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and you cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Pretty strong words, right? See, instead of blaming outside factors or other people, we have to identify that the forces at work on the inside, as it says in verse 1, what causes it? Is it not your passions? When we're in conflict with another Christian, let's examine our own lives and admit that there's a war going on within us. Our passions and our pursuit of pleasure puts us at odds with one another. You want your own way. Now, we read these words and we think, well, you know, I'm not trying to, you know, take things from anybody. It's not that. But it's the same thing as if you want your way. You believe that your way is a better way than everybody else's way. And you get really wound up about that. The honest to gosh